This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, fantasy author publishing under James D. Reed. Mask of Guilt, Mask of Illumination, Book 1 is out. We all wear masks, some of us to hide our guilt. Lady Fenari, lost in the malaise of depression, finds purpose with a group of all-women thieves, the Cracked Gems. Intrigue, romance, betrayal, and adventure swirls around her in this epic fantasy tale. Today, I'm joined by Jonathan Pembroke. He is the author of the fantasy thriller, Rumble in Wood Hollow.
How are you doing today, Jonathan?
I'm doing real good. How are you doing?
Oh, doing great. Been a good Monday. Got a good hour writing on my novel today, and it's really going great on the writing. The words are flowing for the last couple days, so that's been nice.
It's a great feeling when it happens, isn't it? It makes up for some of those times where you get hung up. I know that feeling.
Well, I just feel like I'm not falling about as much. I don't know. I still tend to write about the same amount, but I don't know. It just feels good today versus some days it doesn't feel like it's good. I don't know.
Yeah, some days you just get in a good groove.
Yeah, I don't know. But I feel like I really know the characters now. I'm on book 8, so I kind of understand that. It's not like book 1 where you don't really know your characters. And you got to kind of figure them out as you write them. At least that's how
I do it.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you.
Anyways, I like to start these questions out with, sort of a fun question or two. So, Jonathan, are you a cat person or a dog person?
Definitely a dog person. Not that I don't like cats, but I am allergic to them, so makes it a little harder.
Well, that's all part of their diabolical plan, right? Because they're evil, being cats.
I think so.
Yeah, so how long have you wanted to be an author, Jonathan?
You know, I can't really put a date on it when it happened, but I know I've been telling stories since I was down in my single digits. It's come and gone over the years. There were a lot of times, say through college and then off and on as I was an adult, that I would stop and I'd do some writing. I don't think I really started getting serious until about 15 years ago. I've been pretty consistent ever since. Started off with a lot of short stories and novels for the last few years. And I actually, if I want to say credit or blame, depending on how you want to put it, I'll give that to my wife, who really encouraged me and kind of gave me the, hey, look, if you want to do this, you need to get off your ass and actually try and make a go at it. And I did, and here we are.
Yeah, it's hard to do that. I tried all through my 20s, and I wanted to do it, but then there was World of Warcraft, and just never got around to it, right?
There's always something, and it kind of becomes one of those things of, like I said, did I really want to do it?
Yeah, if you really want to do it, you have to make it a priority and build it into a habit. And then once it's a habit, it's really easy to stick with it.
I agree.
Let's talk about your novel, Rumble. Oh no, I wrote this wrong on my notes, right? No, it's the second word that was wrong. So, Rumble in Wood Hollow. That's it. Yep. I have it right in a different part of my notes. I wrote Hollowood down, and I'm like, that's not it. All right. So we have Sydney, who's bored working for her aunt, and then she gets embroiled in some crazy stuff. I saw ogres mentioned in the blurb. So tell us about it.
Well, Rumble in Wood Hollow. It's the first book in the trilogy, The Holly Sisters. And it, like you said, concerns the central character, the POV protagonist for all three books is Sydney. She's a fairy in her young 20s, and she's living in the fairy homeland of Sylvan Valley. She's bored. She hates it. She gets a summons or a letter, more of a, not really a summons, but a letter from her older sister she hadn't seen for years, who is living in the city of Wood Hollow. Now, Wood Hollow is kind of a semi-industrial slum with a whole conglomeration of a bunch of different mythical races, fairies, dwarves, elves, goblins, ogres, were-rats, etc. And they all live there, and her sister asks her to bring some paperwork, some family documents to Wood Hollow, and because she's bored, Sydney does, and she goes there and finds out that her older sister, Marla, is the head of a street gang of fairies in the city, and they're one of the gangs that's competing for control of the underworld, the criminal underworld there, and they're involved in fighting with some other gangs, and Sydney gets involved in that, and away the story goes.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a very interesting and sort of different premise for a fantasy novel.
It was different, because for one, there's something that people have noted that I kind of made a deliberate point of, is there are no humans in the story. It's all mythical races, and they're not they're borrowed from our real world concepts. You know, the fairies, they're winged, they have wings, but they're 5 foot high, approximately human size. The other races are kind of a various humanoid structure. But yeah, that was kind of the impetus of it, is that you have all these mythical races living there together, and it was interesting. It was a lot of fun to write, actually.
Awesome. So where did the idea for the series come from?
It actually came from me watching the movie Gangs of New York, movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and Daniel Day-Lewis. Oh, go ahead.
The names of the gangs in that movie were so interesting that when I was doing my sort of urban fantasy, it's not urban fantasy, but it's like fantasy set in a Victorian London. I wanted gang names like those. So it inspired me to go research what those early, you know, New York gang names were. And then I used them. I just stole them and used them in my novel. So I'm tweaking them a little bit to give them maybe names that proper noun names that fit in with the setting and all. But yeah.
Yeah. Dead Rabbits
it's a real gang too.
Yeah. But very memorable. It's very distinct. Well, with this case, as I'm watching that movie, and you know, the whole movie's about the gangs fighting each other for control, rather than having the immigrant gangs who just kind of come off the boat versus the ones who are there established, I started thinking, what would it be like if I started having, say, mythical races? And after that, this was maybe 13, 14 years ago, shortly after the movie came out, I wrote a short story, a couple thousand words, that centered on the kind of the final fight between the gangs, you know, the fairies on one side and their allies of other races, the brownies and the dryads, versus the leprechauns and their allies, and had that fight scene. And I wrote that and kind of put it aside. And I had people, especially my wife, again, over the years, tell me, you know, you should expand that. You should make it something more. Well, a couple years ago, I was kind of stymied on my project that was in progress, and I said, well, you know what the hell, I'm going to pick it up. I started writing it, and it just flowed. And the ironic thing is that final fight scene from the short story, the kind of the bones of it are the same as they originally were in the short story. I just modified it and flowed it into the greater novel. But that clash between the gangs and their goals really is what inspired it.
Yeah, that's that definitely, because I have a lot of that sort of gang stuff in my series, Jewels of Illumination, because it's, you know, it's dealing with poverty and social upheaval and a sort of magical industrial revolution that's, you know, causing all the farm boys to come to the city and, you know, thinking that they're going to get something better, but then being stuck working in terrible factories and, you know, and sort of the robber barons of the 1800s and stuff.
Yeah, and again, and something kind of like that, and kind of like my book. It's not something you see in fantasy a whole lot. Kind of a criminal / gangish / the immigrants moving into the city type of thing.
Yeah,
not something you see a ton of.
You always see these very well organized thief guilds, which I don't think have any at all precedent in human culture. I don't think there's ever been sort of a thief guilds of that sort of level of organization. I mean, you get organized crime, but it's not like the thief guilds you see in fantasy.
Yeah, and my fairies, they're not quite that organized. I mean, they do loan sharking and they keep records and all this other stuff, but they are certainly not, you know, they don't have a secret handshake for their sister guild in the city 1,000 miles away kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. Awesome. Well, so how did you sort of write it? Are you kind of a plotter or a pantser?
You know, I have watched my own answer to this question evolve over the years. I used to be strict pantser when I would write things, and that was coming from a background of writing short stories, because with a couple thousand words, you can usually, or I find I can usually do something like that and make it coherent. And
yeah.
If it's not, it's easier to fix when you start getting into novel length.
But with a short story, you kind of already know what the short story is, right?
Before
you sit down. You know, like, this, like, you already know. You're just kind of fleshing out the idea in your head, because you're not just going to sit down there and go, like, well, what is, you know, this? No, you have, like, it's short. So, you know, like, it's like a chapter or two, right?
Right, exactly.
But, like, a novel, you can sit down. Like, I have a great start for a novel. A lot of authors have that. I know how I want to start my novel, who these characters are. But, you know, there's an ending out there somewhere that they don't know what it is.
Well, I kind of know where my ending is going to be. Like with Rumble, because I had written the short story, I kind of knew how the ending was going to be. But I had the beginning and the end, and I go, there's a lot of space in here that I need to make to build up to this point. So now when I write, I would say I'm a hybrid. I do kind of have my milestones of where I want the story to go, you know, from here to the end. And I've got a couple of things I want to hit in the middle. Now, it's not to say that the plot won't wander off the path here and there. But it is, I do kind of have a loose plan, if nothing else, on how to get there, because I've tried to completely pants a novel and it just turns into a mess.
Yeah, I'm kind of very much more plotting my novels these days. I'm still pantsing my series.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't have like a good, like Shadow of the Dragons, for instance. This is my current mm-hmm. series.
Yeah.
I started it with a vague idea of kind of where I knew what the end goal of the villains is, and I knew like what the end goal of my heroes would be.
Right.
But I didn't know how they would. I had kind of a vague idea of like certain events that would happen along the way, but I didn't know like what each book would be. I didn't even know how many books it was going to be, because mm-hmm. I knew it was going to be like a quest adventure. So there's going to be a lot of traveling and going to crazy places as part of it.
Well, I kind of knew when I started this, I kind of knew where I wanted Sydney and Marla's story to go by the end of it. But if you had said to me, hey, were you planning on this happen in this book and this happen in this book back when I started? No idea. Like I said, there was you know where you start and you know where you want to go. And there's a lot of ground to cover in between. And I wandered through a lot of different plot points. It does raise an interesting point, though, because I have more books planned for the characters from that series, though I haven't fully plotted out what's going to happen yet. I started working on another series, and as I'm sitting there thinking about this, it's going to probably be four books, a totally different world and everything. And as I've written the first draft of the first one, and I'm almost done with the first draft of the second book, I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to put these out there yet, because if I do, I know with Rumble and the Holly Sisters series, there were things I came up with in the third book that I'm sitting there kicking myself going, that would have been a great inclusion in the first book, but it's published now and it's canon and I can't go back and add things. And that's, I think, one of the drawbacks of doing a more pantsing approach is sometimes you think of great stuff that you'd love to add and it's hard because you've already written it.
Yeah, well, that's why I like trying to get my series written before publishing.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to do with this one now.
That way, like, because I've done that where I'm like, wow, this is a really good idea. Now I'm just going to find where to seed it back in book one, just to plant mm-hmm. some little seeds for it. Or or just name places. So, like, I know, like, where, like, because, you know, like, I had an idea of places I would go in this book.
Yeah.
But there are some places I went to that I didn't think I would. Or, like, it was kind of beyond, like, where I kind of thought of the initial stages of the journey. Like, I knew, like, they would get to this one point. And then after that, I knew they would have to get to this other place on the far side of the world. And I didn't mm-hmm. really think about what they would be doing in between. And so, but now that I'm writing those parts, and I've just finished, like, book one, that's actually all polished and ready for publication now. But I was able to slip in stuff in book one. Just sort of references. Like, I like to drop, like, names for places out there. Just sort of get these names out in the reader's mind, like, you know, hey, you know.
Like, yeah, exactly. And that's if you can do that, you know, if you haven't published it and you can do that, it's really cool because I'm also a reader. And I appreciate that when I see that, when you see the references early, especially if you're rereading it after, and you're like, oh, wait, this was mentioned way back then. Those kind of things are really cool. And yeah, so I'm, you know, that's one of the nice things. I know I'm kind of going all over the place here, but that was one of the nice things about this business is you never stop learning. You know, the Holly Sisters is my first series that I finished, and I feel like just by the act of finishing it and what I've learned, it's made me a better writer.
Oh yeah, every novel, you know, like, teaches you. You kind of, well, okay, I've written like 20 novels now.
So yeah,
I feel very confident when I'm sitting down to write a novel nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't feel like when I send my manuscript to my editor, she doesn't tell me like, hey, like, maybe you need this scene or this scene. I kind of feel like I'm good at making sure I got all my scenes in.
Yeah. You know,
yeah, and I got, like, so, yeah, so it's kind of like, not to say I don't want to improve or there's not ways to improve, because there definitely is. There's, like, there's little dumb, like, things. Like, I'm training myself out of using and then, because you just could use then. It's the same thing. That and before then is very redundant. So
yeah, we all build up those bad habits that are hard to untrain. But
it is,
like you say, you've written so many novels now that you've developed a confidence and an experience base on where you can go, and it can make your next novels better. I'm not just talking about your writing quality, you know, the and thens, because I look at the Holly Sisters and I think the third book, just in terms of writing, is far better than the first book. But just the overall art of how you go about this, I really feel a lot more confidence, I guess the right word, about how my next one's going to go. And that's a good feeling.
Yeah, I was hearing my first book be turned into an audio novel, and boy, I did a lot of nodded his head, and you don't need the his head, because nodded is a verb that means to, you know, to move your head up and down. It's like,
right.
It means one very specific thing.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need any adjectives or nouns or adverbs to go with it to make the meaning more clear. Its meaning is very clear, but, you know, I still was writing it all the time.
Yeah, my one of the people in my local writers group here, she's not a fantasy writer, she's a mystery writer, but one of her bugaboos when she reads, when we submit our works to each other, is they stood up, or he stood up. She says, no, you don't need the up. They stood. That's all you need. We know they stood up.
Yeah, and the redundant prepositions are something I still struggle with.
Yeah.
Grammarly is good at finding some of those. That's one thing Grammarly is good at. It's
Grammarly's not bad. It's one of those things. It's just you have to know what its strengths and weaknesses are. It's a tool like anything else.
It's geared towards like business writing, mm-hmm. So not creative writing. So it you know, like, yeah, I'm aware that like maybe I should put like, you know, a supportive verb there, but I don't want to because I like how it sounds without that supportive verb, and it's still, you understand what it, you know what it means.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's kind of just my style. I like, you know, there's some of those supportive verbs that I don't like to use.
And you gotta be true to your voice and what's working for you.
It's not like it's not clear what it means. It's not like my editor freaks out over it. But yeah, but then, and there's other, and then of course, like, it's like it says, like, this word's misspelled like 20 times in the text. I'm like, you know, I thought you were supposed to recognize like a proper noun that's, because it's repeated like 20 times and not keep suggesting me to fix it.
Well, I guess it's not quite perfect software. We'll just say that.
No, it's not perfect. I think it's like one third of what it suggests are actual mistakes that I would correct, and then two thirds are just me scrolling through it, going like, no. And it's like, there's like some that I just wish I want to just turn you off, like, because like every time there's a like or an as, it just suggests the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't care, like, it's just, no, it's the opposite. If it sees like or as, it will always suggest the opposite.
Well, it's useful for me because I know I'm a lousy copy editor. I have a bad habit of leaving out small words,
right,
in the middle of my sentences, and it'll catch a lot of those.
I'm having issues where my H key doesn't press all the time, so there's a lot of his's that are is, and it catches those easily.
Yeah.
Because they're like, why is this weird verb here? It should be his. I'm like, oh, thank you, Grammarly. But that's that's my keyboard is having issues, and I'm getting a new laptop because of it. Sadly, I bought it used, and after a couple 4 months of heavy writing, it's, some of the keys are coming off.
Well, I've got the actually same problem with my R key, and I so I miss a lot of R's. But
it's my this laptop, it's my H, N, and A key.
This laptop is 11 years old, so it's about shot anyway.
I replaced a 12-year-old laptop just recently with this new used one. And then like the keys are like glued down onto the thing and they're like coming up. So they don't press right. But I'm getting a new laptop. I'm like, fine. Anyways, so you got this other series in the work and you got more in the Rumble Hollow series, yeah? Or in the universe?
Yeah, the Holly Sisters, the 3-book trilogy, finished that story arc. It certainly, there's a number of characters didn't make it out of the series, but a number of them did, including Sydney, the main character. So she's off now doing other stuff, and I've got big plans, actually. You know, maybe it's always ambitions. It's always good to have ambitions. She's going to go one way. I've got some other characters I'm going to follow and let them write. I'm going to do their series and then bring them back together and finish the whole overall story arc. So they'll be off doing their thing. She'll be off doing her thing simultaneously and then let them come back together. So I got that going. I've got this 4-book series that, and see, Rumble is, and the Holly Sisters is not, I wouldn't call it necessarily dark. It's got some dark moments in it, but it's not, certainly I wouldn't call it grim dark. The one I'm writing now is definitely more on the grim side. In fact, I had somebody who read the first book beta for me, came back and said, "What is wrong with you?" I said, "Well, that's actually a good question." But so I got those going on. And, you know, I'm also I had a standalone book, first book I published called Pilgrimage to Skara. It wasn't super well received. It was kind of polarizing. People either seemed to love it or hate it. But I said I would write a sequel, so I started writing that. At some point, I'm going to finish that up and get it out there.
All right. Well, where can our listeners connect with you on the internet?
The absolute best place to find me is via Facebook. I'm in a number of groups out there, writing groups, including Fantasy Sci-Fi Focus and Fantasy Faction, Indie Fantasy Fanatics, a whole bunch of the kind of the independent writer groups on Facebook. You can find me on Goodreads or on Reddit. Unfortunately, I don't do Twitter. I had a bad experience there a few years ago, and I've been off of that. And I have a blog. It's called The Flint Hatchet. I don't update it too often, maybe 10 times a year when I just have something to say, but links to all my books are available there, and you can always drop me a message there. That's probably the best way.
All right. Well, thank you, Jonathan, for joining me. It was great talking with you.
You too. And have a good morning. Good luck with your writing. And I guess we should get back to work.
Yeah. Have a good one.
All right. Take care.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com. And follow me on Twitter at JMDReed. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.